United States versus Aliyev.
May it please the court, with the Federal Public Defender in Wisconsin here on behalf of Hilda Alieto. This is I believe, a very simple case. The driver of a vehicle is traffic stopped by police, and as police approach, he tosses 1 ounce of crack cocaine onto the lap of a female companion, the front seat passenger, who is our appellant. The sole issue before the jury at the appellant's subsequent trial is whether the appellant, who undisputably hid the contraband down her pants as police approached the car, had the intent to deliver that contraband. At the appellant's jury trial, had the government had available to it Rule 404B evidence that she and the driver did this identical thing in the past, the government surely, I submit, would have been able to introduce such evidence to show the appellant and the driver were drug trafficking trusted partners, and on the date in question, the appellant clearly had the intent to deliver the controlled substance. The government had no such 404B evidence, but the appellant, for her part at her jury trial, had available to her like other acts evidence which she wanted to introduce. Obviously, she didn't want to introduce it to show that she had the intent to deliver the contraband, but instead to show that she did not have such intent.
I guess that's what confuses me, is why this other evidence would show that. It doesn't seem that it would. And
that is one of the first bases, obviously, which the district court found in excluding it, is that it basically just wasn't relevant.
Not relevant.
Right. And what the appellant indicated to the district court is that either as not inextricably intertwined evidence, which this court doesn't accept anymore, but as just direct evidence, background story evidence, if you will, or what this court has come to call reverse 404B evidence or non-defendant 404B evidence, that the evidence is a vital background story to the charged incident or proves the driver's intent to distribute the controlled substance or his modus operandi or purpose, because in other instances in addition to this incident, what he does when confronted by the police is impulsively make an effort to have the person seated next to him, typically a female in a car, as police approach, hide that evidence. He uses that companion, that front seat passenger,
to aid and abet, right?
I submit to you not. Well, not the
there
other
was,
evidence.
There was an aiding and abetting instruction given here?
There was indeed, and that was what was charged, Judge. But what the government was obligated to prove beyond a reasonable doubt is that that passenger knowingly aided and abetted. And I think that this jury
she
was...
She grabs the drugs and stuffs them down her pants. That's
right.
Pretty good evidence.
Certainly the best evidence that she was in possession, that
and
she...
Then she gave a statement afterwards.
Right. We'll get to that, when I think, when we talk about the sum total of the evidence. But obviously the court's concerned about actually taking control of the evidence and hiding it and sticking it down her pants, as happened in the other acts evidence as well. But, Judge, that, I think, is supportive and certainly proof beyond a reasonable doubt of possession of that evidence, but it's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt, where the jury's entitled to hear more evidence as to whether it's proof beyond a reasonable doubt, of an intent to distribute that drugs or even to knowingly, under all the circumstances, aid and abet that distribution. Because what the appellant wanted the trial court to allow it to do was to educate the jury about the suddenness of this instance. And I think the suddenness of this instance is supported if it happened on additional occasions. And furthermore, what the appellant wanted the jury to understand is that this particular passenger in this incident, the one on trial, our appellant, wasn't, as the government portrayed her to be, a long-standing drug trafficking partner of the driver. And so by showing that other female front seat passengers were subject to the same set of really, really unique and difficult circumstances that this appellant was faced with, just as they couldn't all be long-term drug trafficking partners of the driver, neither was the appellant. And so I do think that evidence was relevant in that regard.
Would that evidence have proved that the others weren't trafficking with him as well?
Well, that's what was going to be explored upon had the driver testified. And certainly it's a reasonable inference that this driver wouldn't have multiple long-term female drug trafficking partners. At least that could be argued to the jury.
It sounds to me, Mr. Wilmoth, as though you were asking the district court to try three or four more cases, all just as simple theoretically as Alietta's. As you'd have to explore all the circumstances of those stops, each of those female companions' backgrounds, experience, circumstances, so that you could divine some conclusion about their intent, right?
Well, that's not what I intend to do, and in candor, that's not what defense counsel would have done. The other instances I submit to you were so identical as these instances. Traffic stops, approach of police, a toss, a hide in the exact same spot, that it's reasonable to infer that no one could then, in that instance, on those specific dates, have the intent to distribute
that. But the test for each of those, the issue with each of those incidents, would have been the recipient's intent.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Which could be explored in as much length and as much detail as the trial of Ms. Alietta's intent, right?
Conceivably it could have, but that would have allowed the trial court to stop if we would have gotten into...
Well, and that's he relied on Rule 403, right?
Right, Judge. He indicated then that he wasn't relying on 403B evidence on any kind of prejudice analysis because there would be no prejudice to the driver.
About time.
Right, I think he was...
talking about multiplying the trial by a factor of four.
But I don't think it would have multiplied a trial by a factor of four because all the defense intended to do, and we indicated this to the court, which is why I don't think the court...
You were going to show it through the investigating officer who didn't have first-hand knowledge of it, so how do you show anything about the person who receives that drug, that person's intent?
We're going
to... just the reporter.
So the timing of it and who to do it through are the two questions that I think are both before me now. And... it was going to be done very, very quickly through the driver, who the government indicated it was calling as a witness and indicated to the court that it would be its last witness. And then, right before the government closed, they said, we changed our minds. We're not going to present it through the driver. And I have to tell you, the cross-examination of the driver about what he did three other times was going to be quick because it was relatively simple. When we learned the driver wasn't going to testify. It was time to talk, I would hope, during the government's case.
Couldn't you call him?
I could, and that was considered. But as a tactical decision, Judge, there was a lot of other evidence potentially he could have offered. In fact, I know the government intended, ironically enough, to introduce 404B evidence against the defendant through that same witness. They abandoned that, and I certainly wasn't going to invite that by calling him. So then we go to the case agent, and... the FBI case agent actually testified about one of these prior instances, the dump. Actually, it wasn't prior. It was subsequent.
Later. Yeah.
It was later, which we know doesn't matter under the law. He had testified in front of the grand jury about one of those instances because there was a long-standing investigation of the driver. So I certainly thought he had personal knowledge through his investigation of not only that instance but the sum total of the driver's criminal conduct. And the judge ruled no, he didn't have first-hand knowledge, and I believe the judge ultimately determined it was hearsay. So it's that time that I thought I could fairly say, okay, Judge, now that we've had this change in circumstance, that I ought to be able to call the actual law enforcement who were involved in those other instances, who actually were like the police officers involved in this case who approached the car and saw the toss of the cocaine or the contraband money, what have you. I prevailed upon asked the chief judge if I could call those law enforcement witnesses And that's when we got into, I think, that was really, I think, Judge, the court's concern about time. No, we've talked about a half hour on this as it is. We must move on. And I'll tell you, as I see my time coming into rebuttal, I'm cognizant of a court's concern about time. But this, Judge, this was the defense. And I think under this appellant's Fifth and Sixth Amendment right to present a defense, she should have been accorded an opportunity to bring in police officers to testify about those all-important incidents, because to not allow us to do so gutted the defense. Ironically enough, despite the fact that the trial judge gave us a theory of defense instruction that was actually, I think, outlined the relevancy of what I was looking to introduce with those post-arrest incidents. But so I had a jury instruction, or Ms. Alieto had a jury instruction, and had no facts to argue for it to apply to. I'm going to save the remaining time, if I may.
You don't have any, but I'll give you another minute.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
May it please the Court. The district court got it absolutely right in excluding this evidence that the defendant intended to introduce at trial. Number one, there weren't any competent witnesses to introduce the evidence through. And number two, it was absolutely irrelevant. It didn't help to prove whether or not she had the required intent of the offense charged. Furthermore, the evidence in the case was absolutely overwhelming with regard to her guilt. And even if the court here decides that the evidence should have come in, any error in doing so was harmless because the evidence of her guilt was overwhelming. As the court has already indicated, once Victor Gonzalez tossed the crack cocaine to defendant Gonzalez Alieto, she lifted her hips and pushed it down her pants in the face of a police presence. The police officers had their guns drawn, and they were telling both Gonzalez and Alieto, you need to put your hands up. She ignored those commands by the police officers and knowingly placed the crack cocaine in her pants. And she knew it was crack cocaine because in jail calls after she was arrested, she indicated the exact amount of the controlled substance that was on her person, 32 grams. The lab weight was a little bit different, but she knew in talking to someone else that there was 32 grams that she covered.
Also recorded on those phone conversations talking about their money.
That's correct. It was clear from the calls, the evidence in the case, that they worked together, that she was someone who was trusted, a partner of Mr. Gonzalez. And unless there are any questions.
Thank you very much.
I would ask that you affirm the conviction. Thank you.
Thank you. You have another minute, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you. If the government had conceded at trial that the driver tossed the drugs upon the lap of an unsuspecting or surprised appellant, and the sought-after evidence, I believe, would have been irrelevant or at least cumulative. As to the harmless error issue, the appellant's undisputed hiding of the contraband, her post-arrest, what I submit to you was a false confession that the contraband was hers alone and not the driver's, and her post-arrest recorded jail calls, which the court just made allusion to, regarding her love and concern about the driver and wanting to know about money and property, I do not believe means that her proffered trial evidence did not provide a plausible defense that it was alternatively reasonable to infer that she did not know all that was transpiring in the car that day and that she was not the trusted partner of the driver on that day in drug trafficking. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement and the court will be in recess. So,